Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. I'll be speaking from verses 12 through 17. These are the words that John wrote. These writings were not the writings that came from John's imagination. These were the writings which Jesus Christ told him to write. Much like Jonah when he went to Nineveh, God told Jonah, "You preach the preaching that I tell you to preach." And that's what Jonah did. Jonah did not go to Nineveh and preach his own opinions or preach his own ideas. He went to Nineveh and preached the preaching that God told him to preach. And likewise here in the book of Revelation, John wrote the writings that Jesus told him to write. These writings were not a concoction of John. And so it is with us. When God gives us a message to the church, we are to preach the message that he gave us. We're not to preach our own ideas or our own philosophies. We are to preach the preaching that God has told us to preach. I know some would say, "How does that work?" Well, I'll tell you how it works with me. When God tells me to preach about heaven, because there are some there that are discouraged, feeling down, who feel that this old world has nothing to offer, and they need to know that there is indeed a city whose builder and maker is God, and that if they would be faithful, even unto death, they will get to go there. Tell them there is a better life. Tell them about the better life. When God gives me a message to speak about heaven, I take it upon myself to study everything in the Word of God that has to do with that city whose builder and maker is God. I write them down. I try to memorize them. And when the time comes to deliver that message on heaven, I want to be able to teach the teaching that God has given me to teach. I want the people to be thoroughly informed about a place called heaven, about the city whose builder and maker is God. And so it was here. John was told to write the writings that Jesus told him to write. John was to write to the people that God knew them, knew their works, knew how they had held fast to his name, that he knew they had not denied the faith, even in the face of death. He also was to write that God had a few things against them, and he outlined what they were: the doctrines of Balaam, the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. John also writes the answer to the problems. Jesus said, "Repent, or else I will come quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth." And in verse 17, he wrote, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, will I give to eat of the hidden manna." I like that, the hidden manna. You remember when Jesus was at the well at Sychar, the well that Jacob had given the people? He met the woman there, and to this woman, he revealed to her exactly who he was. And while Jesus was talking, his disciples came with their lunch. And it appears that Jesus was not that interested in diving right into the lunch. So they said, "Have you already eaten?" Jesus replied to them, "I have food to eat that you know not of." Jesus was eating from the hidden manna, the manna that they didn't know anything about. But one of these days, Jesus has promised, he that overcomes will get to eat from the hidden manna. And not only that, Jesus said, I'll give him a white stone, and in the stone, a new name written. Can you imagine the pile of stones that there must be? Every overcoming saint gets one. And somehow, I believe that he has picked each stone up and thought about each child, and then slowly carved that love name with a smile on his face, picturing the look on our faces when he gives up to us. That's enough to make a Baptist shout. When I read that, my mind went back again to when I met Shirley. I fell in love with this lady. I gave her a white stone. Yes, I did. Quite a few ladies have received a white stone of love after a dinner. So it is with Jesus. He will share a special meal with the overcomer, which will receive the rock, the stone, that will be far more precious than the largest diamond in the world. The love of Jesus is so strong that he shares this joy of intimacy to the church of Pergamos, where there are Balaamites and Nicolaitans. Not only did I give Shirley a new stone, but I also gave her a new name. A new name that only she will answer to. If I would call this name out in a crowd, only she would come to me. This name illustrates the intimacy that Shirley and I have one towards another. One of these days, my friend, God is going to give us a name that only we know. Only we will answer to that name when he calls, because we know that the one calling us by this name is our great love. He is the love of our life. He is the one who rescued us when we were drowning in sin. He is the one who picked us up from the miry clay and set our feet on a rock to stay. Yes, we will know him when he calls us, and we shall answer when he calls. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are all the bride of Christ if we have truly been born again. And we too will hear that name called to us by the one whom we have such intimacy with in eternity. I would ask you today, how much of Pergamos is in us? We are the bride of Christ, yet many cling to the world as if they were married to it. Let us repent that we may know that intimacy with the one who saved us.